Be here, bringing books to life. Vision without sight.
The Light Watch Chronicles, Book 1, The Guardians, by J. H. Tepley. Episode 8. Produced and dramatised by Be Here. Chapter 9. Velai Caius. The Paths of Choice. The floor was strewn with cryptic curlicues of symbols. The Meldean was empty and full of shadows. As soon as the quarter entered, large crystals on the walls lit up, dim at first, but then brighter. The sound of steps echoed through the hall. Invisible in the daytime, they gleamed warmly in the lamplight. Nasteri cast them a passing glance, and his eyes widened. He could swear the sigils lifted off the floor just then, hovering around him like so many golden keys. He blinked, and the vision was gone.
Tay, the symbols, have you seen the si-?
He stammered out. Tay regarded him dispassionately.
Nasteri, how come you're drunk?
I feel like I might as well be.
Nasteri rubbed the bridge of his nose.
I'm seeing things.
Nothing new then.
Tay gestured, tiredly.
Speaking of drinks, I'd fancy one, after all that. I wonder if they have a kitchen here, or a wine cellar.
The sigils quivered again, but this time remained in place.
You saw that?
Nasteri blurted out foolishly.
Saw what?
The signs! The symbols on the floor! They moved!
Tay shook his head. No words were able to convey how little he cared right now.
Hallucinations are an affliction of the tired mind,
Hegel remarked, ironically.
Sleep shall cure you.
He stood in the middle of the stairs already.
You're right, I guess.
Nasteri knitted his brow and looked away. He'd have been wiser to keep his mouth shut, as always. Back in his room, he absent-mindedly pulled his shirt off and even flopped on the bed. However pointless it was, hours passed by, long and empty. The hush of night was soothing warm, yet the quietude made the anguish worse.
Farian couldn't have done it. He would never. Tortured into submission, Antares said. Nonsense. Farian would sooner die than join the shadow. He'd never crack. Not Farian. He'd never. What have they done to him?
Nasteri pressed his lips, trying to cast away the visions.
Light, this can't be true. This can't be true. This can't be true.
And yet, in his heart, Nasteri knew it was. With a strange, grim, suffocating certainty, he knew that dream from a long time ago was more than just a dream.
We should have. Light and all gods, just hold on there. You'll be all right. We'll go and find you. We promise. I promise. This can't be true.
Slowly, tentatively, the darkness outside the window merged into a lighter shade. By that time, Nasteri felt he could remember every stupid cranny and every curve on the vaulted ceiling. Finally, he rubbed his face, sighed, and sat up. This wasn't going anywhere. He dressed and went downstairs, through the shadows of the pillared hall and out on the terrace. The cool breeze ruffled his hair. The pre-sunrise world was watchful and grey. At the far end of the balustrade, Tay sat motionless, his hands twined over his left knee. Sensing Nasteri's presence, he turned his head.
I couldn't sleep,
Nasteri confessed, coming closer.
I didn't even bother,
Tay replied, lifeless. He narrowed his eyes and lines of worry traced his face. It seemed as though one night had aged him years.
I couldn't stop thinking.
He swallowed.
You know?
Nasteri put his hand on Tay's shoulder.
Hey, remember what you said last night? We are alive, and there is still hope. We'll work this out.
He repeated like a mantra.
I remember.
Tay's look betrayed that he struggled to believe it now.
What if we don't? We left him there to die.
His voice cracked, guilt tightening his throat.
I failed. Failed for the second time.
He dropped his head.
No, look, don't say that. This time it wasn't your fault.
Tay didn't answer. He took a long breath and exhaled slowly, his eyes fixed on his hands.
Hey, Hegel.
Nasteri said suddenly without turning back.
Warning.
Hegel responded, walking up. His look was feverish and disheveled. Strands of his wavy hair straggled across his face. He didn't care to notice. Tay finally lifted his gaze, studying Hegel for a moment. No jacket, messy sleeves, the shirt half undone, and a ghost of a smile touched his lips.
Copying my style.
What? That... You mean this?
Hegel clumsily did up some hooks and buttons. Absent. Dumb exhaustion, ache and darkness rushed in on him, as if Tay's mood was contagious.
I need a drink.
He muttered hoarsely.
Light, I'm tired.
He flopped on the stone tiles by Nasteri's side.
If you find any booze, bring me some too.
Tay ordered bleakly, staring into the distance. The gloom was slowly devouring itself, yielding to the dull hunger of another daylight. At last, the golden streaks of dawn shot from behind the roofs of Meldian Hall, victorious. The sky lit up with rosy hues, hazy and scintillant like a giant gemstone. A moment later, the cold shadows quivered and drew away. And, to the relief, the quarter saw Antares, clad in dark green and diamond white. The great star appeared before them, a golden circlet twinkling in her hair.
Holy Guardian!
Tay jumped off the balustrade and straightened up. Nasteri and Hegel jerked upright next to him, throwing their right arms across their chests. All three froze to attention.
We have been awaiting your return.
Antares looked at them, her gaze mournful and kind.
Stand at ease,
she said. It felt as though a spell of warmth spread out from her. It enveloped the quarter like a soothing embrace, washing their grief away. They understood now, with clarity that made them tremble, the essence of Antares's power. It was the sweet, disarming force of love, all healing, all enduring, touching the deepest levels of the soul.
How very fortunate that you have returned, Holy Star,
Nasteri began.
We need your counsel.
The bridge!
Tay exclaimed feverishly. He had never been the one for refined negotiations.
Please, the bridge. Do tell us all about it. How do we get to Farion? We must go find him. There's no time. We'll carry your orders. Just tell us what to do and we'll do it.
Hegel remained silent. The awareness of what a mess he was suddenly in dawned on him painfully clear. He cringed and lowered his gaze. There was nothing to add to what had just been said, anyway.
Very well.
Antares responded mildly.
I can show you the paths, if you're ready.
We are ready.
Tay blurted out without any time to think. The great star nodded.
It shall be as you wish. Not here, however. These walls need not hear what will be spoken. Places keep their memories too well.
As you command, Holy Guardian.
Tay briefly bowed his head.
Stubborn you are indeed, Slaterianese warriors.
Antares fixed Tay with a long stare.
There is no need for titles. I believe I told you that.
I'm sorry, I forgot.
Tay apologised hastily, his lips stretched in a grimace, resembling a smile.
Too much to think about all at once.
The vine leaves whispered anxiously in the wind, echoing his words. The sky was getting brighter.
It's fine, warrior. There is no need for an apology.
Antares paused.
We shall depart soon. First, though, I have a suggestion for you. Over there.
She waved her hand. Confused, the quarter looked where she was pointing. Behind, on the balustrade, three crystal chalices glimmered in the morning light.
Midaria for the road.
Asteri thought he heard a hint of weariness in Antares's voice. They headed north through the sunlit tapestry of streams towards the Sonori Mountains. No words were spoken, yet somehow the silence didn't feel a burden. The quarter walked, each cumbered with their thoughts. A grove welcomed them with the quivering sunshine seeping through the leaves, white-rimmed and filigree. Antares stopped by the falling tree, waiting for the warriors to catch up, and turned around. A wandering ray of sun brightened her face, then playfully slid down her neck and shoulders, till it was lost, caught in the shimmer of her hair.
Light, she's breathtaking,
Nesteri thought, despite himself. And as soon as that, the world was gone, all fading, melting into white, except Antares's face, and a strange shiver took over him. When their eyes met, Nesteri's heart skipped a beat, his throat suddenly dry. He looked away at once as quickly as one would in panic. Antares gestured at the tree trunk. Tay and Hegel followed the invitation. Nesteri took a spot on the grass by their side. An odd, bitter aftertaste, a lingering hint of guilt haunted him for some reason. He frowned and rubbed his chin.
Let us begin.
Antares spoke.
The points of choice. You haven't heard about them, I trust?
No.
Tay shook his head.
Imagine a straight line you move along. This is your life course, with all the events and choices that you make. It's called your timeline. You keep moving until you arrive at a juncture, a point of choice, where you must decide where to go next. Those points are like crossroads. They split your single line into many. There's a question or a problem to solve, and your new direction depends on what you do. Are you with me so far?
The warriors nodded, and Antares continued.
Once the decision has been made, you step into a different timeline with different opportunities and challenges. At every point of choice, we unlock new realities and let go of others. The best strategy is to navigate so that you keep the doors of opportunities open, as many as possible. But what you did instead, you gradually cut your choices down until you hit a dead end in its true sense. Can you see that? That fight on the blue planet was supposed to be your last.
Tay chewed his lip. He was unsure where Antares was heading with all that. He wished she would speak about saving Farian instead. The Star of Time fixed him with a knowing stare.
It's like the game of Chaturanga or chess.
She spoke again.
Every time you make a move, the world responds. And with some experience and craft, one can predict those responses and play to win. But there are also powers greater than ourselves that can lay aside and rewrite all choices, throwing you right into the mirror time. It's something you have now lived through. You call such events miracles, but there is an order to them. The universe is all patterns within patterns.
Antares paused, and her luminous eyes swept the minor stars. She knew they had to take this trial to become free. It was going to hurt. Hurt badly, she also knew. Part of her didn't want to do it. She sighed.
And now, a wish-granting time,
she said reflectively at last. Tay's eyes flashed. Hegel curiously raised his eyebrows. Nesteri cocked his head to the side with a non-committal expression on his face.
There are three paths that you can take from here. The first one would be to return to the blue planet, where your lives would be taken by demonoids.
No thanks.
Tay snorted gruffly. Antares favoured him with a smile.
I'm glad that choice doesn't appeal to you. Another path would be to remain on Lagu, allowing your destiny to unfold. If so, you would be able to save Farian.
Tay glanced at her sharply.
I'll teach you what you need to know. Lastly, you could create a time loop and return to the days of your homeland on Silterion many years back. You would retain your present consciousness, but dimmed. In other words, you would know all that would happen, yet with no power to change anything.
Tay shook his head, his mind scurrying to follow, exasperation rising in him. He called upon his will to squash the impatience. Losing his composure would not help the matter.
Too much too quick. I'm sorry, Holy Star, but what are we talking about? What time loop?
A time with no future.
Thank you, I know that. Temporal theory has never been my thing, but I remember that much. What I mean is, surely going back home can't be that bad. I'm quite sure we'd figure something out once we were there.
Tay smirked at his battle brothers.
Am I right, team?
Most certainly.
Hegel's face lit up.
I agree, we would be perfectly fine, better than fine in truth. It would be ideal.
He glanced at Nesteri, who was silent, but it didn't matter.
If only we could go back to Leyari. It would be all I could wish for.
Nesteri looked at him with a pensive stare.
Funny how the mind works,
he mused. Only yesterday, Hegel snapped like mad at the mere suggestion of time travel, and now, when Antares mentioned it, he accepted it without asking twice. Suddenly, he didn't feel like arguing. It was impossible. A corner of Nesteri's lips curled at the irony.
Just remember one thing,
Antares said slowly.
That choice would simply make you go through everything once more. You won't be able to influence what happened, only to witness. The trap of the repeated time can be soul-wrenching. You're sure it's what you want?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Hegel didn't seem to listen, inebriated with hope.
Whatever it takes.
Very well,
Antares said calmly.
But before making your decision final, ask both your heart and your mind for counsel.
Is this true? Can we really cross to the other side? Right now?
Hegel whispered, transfixed on the portal.
Don't jump in. Not yet.
He ordered himself feverishly, his breath stuck in his chest.
Don't you dare. Stay. Let Tay go first.
It's open both ways, yes.
Antares's voice was soothing silver. As if to confirm her words, a pair of yellow-blue bevith fluttered out of the portal, chirruping, and flew away. The quarter watched them disappear.
So that's how Sietri got here,
Hegel mused. It felt all too surreal to be true. Their long-lost home just as they remembered it. The meadows dappled with pale morning sunshine, the scudding clouds on the aquamarine sky, the crystal mountains barely visible in the distance. A dream, an impossible dream come true. The warriors froze, enchanted, unable to take their eyes off the view.
If you let your past become your future,
Antares warned,
it's all you'll ever have. In your present time, Silterion is gone, and yet all those years you lived looking back with no purpose ahead, only regrets.
Tay sighed. Something in Antares's words struck a chord within.
She's probably right,
he reluctantly admitted to himself.
So, if we do go back, nothing would change at all?
He asked.
You die in your current body. Your consciousness alone would travel to become a silent witness to all the events that are fated to unfold. Farion would remain as he is.
Tay's face darkened. He looked down, rifling the grass with his boot. A growing realization troubled him. Living through everything once again suddenly appeared too painful to consider. Yet the temptation was still there. Going riding and hunting with his older brother would be fun. And that bunch of time wasters, Day, Terranil and Fioran, and Egilvy, better known as Lordy Lord, would be waiting there with their usual jokes and nonsense, and a bunch of terrible ideas that only their collective genius could produce. Tay smiled vaguely at the memory. But then he thought of the fall, and the smile receded from his face. He wasn't sure he had the strength to see the horror of it again. And then there was the Blue Planet, and Farian, and Morionwe, and many other things that made him shudder. Moments he wouldn't want to look back at. At length, he turned to his team.
You heard it. Care to share your thoughts?
For the first time since they left the Meldian, Nesteri broke his silence. His voice was low, but it rang with grave determination.
I'd give a lot to be back home, he said.
But he turns not back who is bound to a star. There must have been a greater reason for our lives to be spared. Whatever it may be, such a debt can't be taken lightly. Our honour bids us repay it, and we can go no sooner than it's done. Imagine what our teacher would say if we chose petty passions over duty.
He paused.
And if you're asking for my personal opinion, Tay, I'll tell you this. I haven't a clue what staying on Legu is going to be like, but I'm ready to accept whatever happens on the unknown path if by doing so I serve the light. That's me.
Nesteri fell silent again and turned away, contemplating the view through the portal. He thought of Dra, the only soul he was close to in his Lyarian days.
Tamus misses friends,
he mused. Friends, huh? A ghost of a sardonic smile touched his lips. Perhaps he'd never even known what this word truly means. There were a few who'd offered their company at times, and share a drink and a laugh, and even put up with his weird ideas about the world, as long as he played it down. They didn't know who he was under the mask, and they didn't care. If anything, those meetings usually left him drained. Books tended to be better company than people, Nesteri had discovered. Particularly people like his parents. From his youngest years, it always seemed as though they lived somewhere far and away, in a distant world that was their own. It was cold and aloof, and spiked with rules he couldn't understand. He hardly ever saw his parents talking. As he grew older, he couldn't help but question what it was that kept them together. They spoke to him only when they had to, and more often than not, it was an admonition of some kind. Something he should be doing or shouldn't have done. Did he love them? He did, he thought, but he did not miss them. He never seemed to miss anyone. Somehow he always felt alone, even in a crowd.
Maybe there is something wrong with me after all,
Nesteri wondered, not for the first time. Tay stood deep in thought, rocking slightly from side to side, arms folded on his chest. Then, slowly, almost tentatively, he turned to Hegel.
Nesteri's talking sense,
he said. Hegel didn't answer. He stood mesmerized with the rest of his will, fighting the fervent, crushing desire to forget all reason and logic and just go. Everything he ever loved was there, so close, so close. The fields and the skies of his childhood calling to him. Memories flashed through his mind of the people, the places, and the times he so madly missed. Only one step and he could be back home where his family waited for him. He could be there with them, for them, see their faces again, right now. He could read Natia, his sweet younger sister, her favourite bedtime stories. She would always ask if he had written any new. It's only one step. There's an unfinished novel on the desk in his room. One step. A miracle he didn't even dare to pray for. His dearest wish could come true. Now. Now. He could do it. He could. He can. He will. Go for it. Go.
Hegel?
Tay's voice shattered the spell. Hegel flinched. A different memory burst into his mind. Unwanted. Uninvited. He tried to banish it, but it came back more vivid. The memory of Morionwe, Tay's story, the hell he must have been through, the pain that had scarred his soul and robbed him of all he used to be, and yet, Tay did not fail. Now it was Hegel's turn to show what he was made of, his loyalty and honour put to the test. If he yielded to his longing now, how could he ever call himself a warrior? If he forgot his duty and ran away like a child?
One day, you will face a choice that is greater than yourself,
his father told him once.
Remember this. Never choose what's convenient. Choose what's right. It can be hard, but the truth is hard sometimes.
Hegel's hands unwittingly clenched into fists. The only choice was there, torturously clear. He would not betray the trust of his battle brothers. He would not step into disgrace. He lingered for a few more moments, eyes crinkling, struggling to stave off tears.
Breathe,
he told himself, forcing all his attention on exhaling steadily, slowly, in a desperate bid to bring his composure back. After what seemed like an eternity, it worked.
Damn it all,
he sighed through clenched teeth.
I am with you,
Hegel said evenly, dying inside. He threw a farewell glance at Sultarion, which he was losing forever, for the second time.
Be here. Bringing books to life. Vision without sight.